The Psalm number 46 was one of the favourite psalms of Martin Luther, and very often when they were in sometimes very great difficulties and nothing seemed to be going right, he would say to those who were with him, "Come on, brethren," and we would sing the Psalm 46. This is a psalm that has its history, its basis in the siege of Jerusalem, the time of King Hezekiah. It was Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, who had come and set himself in the most determined way to conquer Jerusalem. He was a very formidable foe, and he had brought great devastation. You can read all about the situation in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and indeed over there in 2 Kings 18 and 19 as well. And Hezekiah, whom we believe, the writer here, we believe that he took an outlook on the situation and realized that there was a plan to starve the inhabitants of the city out, and they realized that, humanly speaking, their survival depended upon the river. And hence you have the words at the end there in verse 4 that tell us, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God." You will know that very often in the life of a city, a river was key to its, not only its success, but to its survival. In the time of Belshazzar, that you read about in Daniel chapter 5, there was really there a self-contained community, and the river there was again a key factor in their existence, and it was because that river was stopped by those who were his enemies, and they were able to come along the river dead. And when he was reveling, they came in and they done him to death, and many of those who were with him. And that is the importance of a river in a physical sense. But when you look at this whole psalm and you go from verse to verse, you see that the whole context is one of considerable difficulty. It does, the Holy Spirit goes does emphasize there in verse 2 just the depth of the difficulty. It says, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." It is a time of very great unrest and uncertainty among the people here in the city of Jerusalem. And in all of that, the key verse, we believe, is the fact that is brought to our attention in verse 7, where it says there, "The Lord of hosts is with us." The Lord of hosts is with us. It is important, as you look at the psalm, to remember that when the Lord here speaks about the river, while the physical river was very important at that time to those who were afflicted, the language is figurative. There's an analogy drawn there, and they're showing us that the river shows us something or speaks to us about something. And of course you and I know, as we read in the Word of God, that the river does speak to us of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the city here, we believe, representing the Church of Jesus Christ. So when we look at the psalm was not only appropriate for Luther and those who were with him during very difficult times, but it has been right up to date for God's people, right to this present time, both as individuals and as collective bodies of people. It has been a psalm that has been a great encouragement to God's people. And as we have entered this year, and the Lord perhaps has blessed you already and given you some answers to prayer, maybe your heart is full of gladness, or maybe you've been discouraged, even though we're only a week or two into the new year. Well, here's a word to take with you. It is, if you like, another noble text to take with you. And this year, last time, I think we looked at "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him," which really was our modern text. But here's something to remember too in verse 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us." And folks, that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. And I'm going to look at this with you this morning. The simple title is that "The Lord of hosts is with us." And I'm going to be looking at what it says there about the river, and try and draw some thoughts from it that will help you in 2017. It's important for you to remember that God has not forsaken you, that he has not forsaken his own cause. He cannot do that, and he will ever be faithful to his own purpose, and you and I can take comfort in that as well. But first, you to notice here that the Lord is with us. Maybe every time we look at here, the Lord is with us, you could think, well, the Lord is with me. Because your situation can be very different from what I imagine it to be, and you can be discouraged at the moment. So we're looking here at the Lord is with us to inspect. He's with us to inspect. It's amazing when you think of a river, the effect that it has as it flows by. When you go into a city, and in many of the cities in Britain, or in proximal countries as well, and there is in the middle of that place a little pond. Very often it's stagnant, and there's all kinds of rubbish gathered up in it. And that is very often the case even in some of our larger lakes. You do go to them, a fairly built up area, and you see that people have come along and they've left all of their picnic stuff lying at the side of the river, and much of it blown into the river, or the lake I should say. And therefore there is refuge that is all around. Well, a river is something that comes. And it comes along, and one of its purposes is, in flowing, and God, who created the river, knows about this, is to bring purity to that river, and to sweep the debris away, and to take all of the impurities, and to carry them away as it flows along. And certainly that is something that reminds us of the great ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, as he does inspect our hearts. Inspect my motives and yours. And inspect us very often as a congregation. And it is so possible in a day, in my lifetime, of unparalleled sin, when it's so easily accessible and very often so acceptable. It's so easy for debris to build up. We're there in Jeremiah chapter 7. It speaks to us here in this chapter. There is a call in the early part of Jeremiah chapter 7 to repentance. And as we may have said to you before, it's good several times in any year just to commit ourselves afresh to the Lord and to turn to him and give ourselves to him the very best we can, because we live in the midst of all this sin. It's very easy to become, in some degree, contaminated in a way that might think affect your attitude or your thinking or even the way that you live. And here in verse 24, it speaks about people, they are hearkening not. If you look at verse 23, it says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." It seems like a simple enough command, and one that would be appealing to the people. If you follow after the Lord, then the Lord is going to see to it that things are well with you. But verse 24 shows us, "But they hearkened not." They hearkened not. And it seems strange sometimes when you read that, but as you look at the situation with God's people all down through the years, it seems to be a human thing. The flesh is always battling against the spirit. Sometimes we hearken not when the Lord speaks to us. And down in verse 30 it says, "For the children of Judah have done evil in the sight of the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it." This is really the verse I wanted to draw your attention to. There has been that come into the house of the Lord which has polluted it. And now when that is the case, the Lord's presence will not be what it ought to be. It will be withdrawn. And we cannot simply say that it has not happened, because there's evidence all around us that that which is a pollution has come in. We call it very often apostasy. That which is corruption has come in, which is taken away from God's word, and eventually over a period of time the Lord has left, and then hence there's no more gospel there. And it's not the house of God, it's just bricks and mortar. After that, the Lord has withdrawn his presence. So the Lord does come, and it's always good that he comes and inspects the church, because it is people that make up the church, and you and I. He comes and inspects our hearts and gets us to search out our own lives. Over there in Revelation chapter 3 as well, there is the church of Laodicea that we know about. We mentioned it to you in recent weeks as well, and how displeased he was with them. He rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's a pretty, it doesn't make good reading what it says, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In other words, the church here was not inspecting itself. It was not inspecting their own hearts. And folks, as we enter 2017, it is something that I need to do very often, is inspect my own heart so that debris isn't built up. What are we talking about, debris? What about unbelief? What about materialistic view? Becoming very materialistic and concentrating just on things. What about slacking off in our prayer life? So many of those things can come along and can contribute to you and I becoming, as it were, clogged up as Christians. Well, you and I have read this morning in the Psalm number 46 concerning the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. And he is with us. He's with us to inspect us. And I can honestly say that as we do look out into the new year, we would wish that everyone, every Christian, would have a year of victory in the Lord, that you would make good progress as a Christian, but we are all very conscious that that will mean battling. And I think one of the key passages in that, that we've looked at on numerous occasions, is Galatians chapter 5, where the apostle there was started off. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then he goes on with great length to show that the spirit and the flesh, the old man, they kind of get on together. That is why sometimes you and I might be tempted to go the wrong way or say the wrong thing and think the wrong thing. And that is why those feelings of doubt perhaps come in, not believing what the Lord has said. And when you live in such a sinful world as this, it's very easy to become tainted. We're very thankful that the Holy Spirit is like the river. And just as the river takes away all the rubbish, I remember going to a river that we used to fish in. And one of the really, really hot summers way back years ago, and there was hardly any water left, and even so much so that some of the fish had died. There was no oxygen in it, and it was stinking, and there was lots of rubbish in it, and it was certainly not the kind of place you wanted to fish or anything else. But then when the rains came, and you came to the river, and it was a lot more water in it, it was a totally different situation. All of that rubbish was taken away, and there was a freshness about it, and there was something that was appealing about it. And therefore, we see again here the proof that when God, the Holy Spirit, inspects our heart, he's able to sweep away that which is wrong, and that which would be a hindrance to us in progressing with the Lord. One of the passages we would want to leave with you just now is in Psalm 19, where it asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Bible says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It also says in that psalm, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, the God, the Holy Spirit, and the word of God are always together. God never works contrary to his word, and we needn't think that he does. He doesn't work contrary to his word. And if we have his word hid in our heart, and when we're confronted with temptation, and things that could be debris, and things that could hinder us, then we can call to our remembrance the word of God that we have hid in our heart, and that will help us, and the Lord will strengthen us as we seek to be at our very best for him. You'll see there in that verse where it speaks about the river, actually it says the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Here's a city in the midst of turmoil, with many questions being asked as to what is going to happen in the end, and great stress and tension in the air. And it simply says here, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. You know that if you are in a very warm country where there has to be special irrigation for crops, and there is a river, very often there are streams dug out towards the feed from that river, and in that way the feed is irrigated. And also that river itself, if you go far enough up, it will have feeder streams. Well, it's very interesting to note and important here that the river here, it doesn't have feeder streams, but rather the streams come out of it. You see, ultimately we're looking at the Lord. And he doesn't need any feeder streams. But he's able to send out these streams into every part of his work and to give gladness, whether it is in Sabbath school, midweek meetings for the children, prayer meetings, whether it is in your private walk with God as a member of the church, or whether it is when we're gathered for collective worship as we are today. In all of this, he's able to give this gladness because a holy church is a happy church. It's as simple as that. A big church with lots of music can be an emotional church. And it can be a church that gives you what they call a little bit of a lift, but it doesn't give you the lift that God's word gives you if you get it into your heart. There's not the permanency with it. And therefore, we want to have God's word hid in our hearts. That is why we teach Sunday school. Teach the word in Sunday school. Teach the word in Bible class. Preach the word in our church meetings. As we seek to reach out to men and women, I trust we know this gladness. The Lord comes and inspects us, and I trust that we will have that honesty before him that I will have, and that I will be able to say even to the Lord that I have took the word and I've hid it in my heart, make not sin against the Lord. And do pray for our own denomination that the Lord would indeed inspect us, that we might be found faithful unto him. Many others stood where we now stand and had opportunities that we now have, and they let it all go. And that's, I'm not saying that just to be critical, I'm just stating the fact. They let it all go, and let's not think that we are beyond that. We have responsibilities seek to stay close to the Lord and to be sure to be those who react to the inspecting of his word. Very often the Lord through his word inspects us. He takes the word of God and he shines it into our heart, and we're spoken to about something that needs to be dealt with there, and it's good to do that. Many's the time that has happened to me. Many times. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has enough interest in me to inspect my heart. So the Lord of hosts is with us to inspect us. The Lord of hosts is with us to increase us. To increase us. Now, the presence of a river in any eastern city years ago brought great advantage to that city. Because the river was there, there could be that growth. There could be growth. Growth even numerically. And you could see the city expanding out. You think even of today in Northern Ireland. Remember Portadown? It was a port. That's why it's called Portadown. And in that port, there used to be many, many boats come up there with all the goods. And Portadown really grew up in the banks of the River Lann. And so it was with many other rivers, the Seine and Paris, or sort of Paris and Seine, and even Belfast on the Leigh, and so on. And where there is that river, there can be growth. And you know, the Holy Spirit is what we sort of refer to as the author of sanctification. It is him who sanctifies us more and more and gives us victory over temptation and the flesh and ourselves and helps us to live more and more unto God. It's called sanctification over there in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2 verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says there, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Now, sometimes sanctification refers to that work whenever a man or a woman was born again of God's Holy Spirit. But when you study it through the Bible, look at verse 16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, hath which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Establish you in every good word and work. It is God the Holy Spirit who enables us to grow. And every one of us wants to grow as Christians. We want to be those who are going on with the Lord and are making progress and are growing with him. And again, he is with us to increase us. Perhaps you feel your weakness and your struggles are there. and sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. We can't dispose of the word of God. And it's good, again, at the beginning of the year. Of course, this is not a command, but it's good at the beginning of the year to determine to read the Bible every day. We all know that anyway. And sometimes it's good at the beginning of the year to start at the beginning and to read the Bible right through during the year and ask the Lord to help you to understand it and the Lord to help you to grow. And let's be very clear, there is no growth without the presence of the Holy Spirit. There might be performance. That's why when I sometimes hear stories, and I'm not being critical of everywhere, of course, but stories, especially in the United States, and places where there's huge gatherings of people and great shouts about what's going on and the remarkable things that are happening, and there's people saying, "Oh, there's so much blessing in these healing meetings and all of these kind of things," where the Holy Spirit is not there, there is no growth. Numerical increase is not spiritual growth. It's not spiritual growth. This is spiritual growth, and it only comes as the Holy Spirit works in us. But again, please read Galatians 5, and you realize you're in battle. You and I have to make the effort to make sure that we're giving place to the Lord and letting Him have His way. We sing that we hymn to the boys and girls sometimes, that the Lord have His way in your life every day. And that's what we all want to do. But here, the Lord of hosts is with us to increase us, that is, increase our growth, and to increase our beauty. Wherever there is a river, very often it has meant that the area round about has become very, very attractive indeed. Read Psalm 1, where you read of the tree there planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. There's always beauty there. And you know, I was reading something just this week that is very true, that generally speaking, I mean, we've said many, many times about the kindness that there are among people and the things that they do that are good for their fellow man and all of that. But generally speaking, the world out there does not like a Christian. Lord Jesus said to give him, and it's going to get us. And in the midst of all of that, the only help that world has, the hope that world has, is you. Because we are like salt. Salt is a preservative. And when the Lord is referring in the Sermon on the Mount to the Christian being salt, it's not by mistake, but rather the salt is a preservative. Why things are not far worse in this world is because we are here. We are here and you are here. We are here to help those who don't have any time for your message at the present time. And to be salt and light in the world and to have a beauty about us. I'm not speaking here, of course, of beauty as the world sees it, but having a way about us that the world sees as different. And one of the greatest, I suppose, compliments that you can get as a Christian is when someone who's not saved says to you, and perhaps have done, I'm sure they've done this to someone, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. Because there has been that growth, then there will be that beauty. And you want, number one, you want the language of the colour. You won't be found in the den of iniquity anymore. You will have a genuine interest in the souls of men and women. And you will have a love for God's people with all of our differences. All of our different personalities and so on. And there will be something that is beautiful before the world. That's the way the Lord has said it will be. You're not going to hide our light under a bushel. But we are those who are, as we know the Lord of hosts to be among us, we will know the growth, we will know the beauty. But something else, the Lord of hosts is with us to help us to increase not only in growth and in beauty, but to increase in comfort. I'd like to return to John chapter 14. Lord Jesus knew when he was before his ascension that he would be leaving behind men and women who would be frightened and very easily become uncomfortable. Said to them there in John's Gospel chapter 14, you can read similar verses in John 15:26 and John 16:7. But it says there, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, it shows us in the next verse that this is the Spirit. It says even the Spirit of truth. Now, the word comforter there is really a reference. reference to what is known as the Paraclete. And please don't think that I'm getting too confusing here, but the Paraclete is from a Greek word, para, which means beside. It's referring to someone who's called to our side to be our helper. And that's what the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is. He is a Paraclete. In fact, if I go a little bit further, he is the vicar of Christ on earth. The Pope is not. He usurps that position. That is why we will protest when he comes to Northern Ireland. And we totally reject him as the head of the church. We believe that he's usurped that position. Many, many people refer to him as Christ's vicar on earth. How dare he? But he does. The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ on earth, supplying to us what Christ did to the disciples when he was among them. And that's exactly what he says here. His presence was with comfort to them. And he says here, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And folks, maybe, even though we're only a few days into the new year, maybe you need comfort. You're being discouraged. Someone, maybe someone you're speaking to was harsh in their reaction to your Christianity. Or maybe you're just generally discouraged. Maybe you don't look forward to going to work anymore because there's hardness there, and you see the spirit of the world on Monday morning, and everybody's able to fill each other in and all of the things that they did over the weekend, and you're not impressed or amused. You don't really look forward to it, and you really need the comfort of the Lord. Well, here's a verse for you. I will pray you, the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Paraclete, the one who's called to our side as our helper, the one who's able to minister to us as Christ ministered to the disciples when he was here among them. In fact, if you look over there in chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Whenever you are in wherever you are, and you feel that need of comfort, you're to remember him. And that is one thing that the Holy Spirit will have us to do to comfort us, to remember him. Didn't the writer say, consider him in the book of Hebrews, lest you become faint and weary in your mind? Think upon him. It seems like a simple thing, but folks, we must think upon him. And I do trust that even in the coming days, that each one of the congregation, all of us, will know what it is that the Lord of hosts is with us to increase us. Number one, increase our growth as Christians. We love to see new people coming, and that's great, and the Lord sends people along. But increase us spiritually, and therefore increase the beauty of what we do, and also increase the comfort of his own people as we live in this hostile world. And I do trust that that indeed will be your portion even in the coming days. But God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord of hosts is with us to increase us, not only with growth and beauty and comfort, but also to show us. If you've never become frustrated before as a Christian, you will. And we don't say that to discourage you, of course, but we know too well from experience what it's like over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's good to sit down and depart with many blessings. And we say that to remember all the spiritual blessings. You read about them there in great measure in the book of Ephesians. All the spiritual blessings that the Lord has given to us. Justification and sanctification and adoption, and how he has taken us as sinners and placed us in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read verses 9 there through to verse 12 carefully yourself at home, you will see that that is what we're being shown. All of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, but you can't see them unless you're shown them. And that is the work, as we read in those verses, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to show us all that we have. Because when we get to the point where we think, well, you know, it's far better with the world, they seem to be happier, they're always laughing, they seem to have far more fun. Well, you and I are called to carry a cross, pick up a cross and follow him. Therefore, it's not all going to be laughing. But it is all very worthwhile. And there's great gladness, because that is the promise in the psalm. To make glad the city of God. The purpose of the river was to make glad the city of God in a most hostile situation. And that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit today. To make glad you, Christian, experiences. I'll not use any, because don't you think I'm talking about anyone here, but I'll use me, let's say, a new car. It's nice. It's an experience, but that's not bringing the gladness that we're talking about here. What about a holiday somewhere in the far end of the world, the best place to go to in the world, perhaps, on holiday? And that would be a nice experience, but I'm not bringing you the gladness, because if those things satisfy us, you know something, we're far too easily satisfied. This is spiritual satisfaction that is found in Christ alone. And it's something, the reason I'm emphasizing it is, it's something that seems to be missing more and more, even among the Christian church. So we can all pray for that end, that while the Lord of hosts is with us, that he will increase us in growth and beauty and comfort and increase his showing to us the Lord Jesus Christ and all that we have in him. Because that's where you get your joy, Christian. The world will kick you in the teeth every time and disappoint you. One other thought here. The Lord of hosts is with us, and we've already touched on this, to instruct us. To instruct us. Whenever you think of the river running through a particular city, and that river, if the power of that river can be taken hold of, then it can be greatly used. And so it is with you and I. We have no reason to be ignorant as we seek the Lord for leading and guidance. There's so often in my time as a Christian that people have come and said, oh, it's the Lord's will that I do this, and I'm not going to argue with people. There's not much evidence to show that it's the Lord's will. It's a whim. It's a notion, or it's a chasing of excitement. It's not the Lord's will. You think of most people that sought out the Lord's will. Most of those that sought out the Lord's will in the Word of God found themselves in a task that was difficult. And yet that's what they were looking for. They were looking at, you think of Gideon. Gideon was a scared man. Hiding. Bitter. And the Lord took him and said, I'm going to use you. For he said, thou mighty man of valor. And he wasn't at that time. But in Judges chapter 6 and verse 34, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. It literally means the Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. Clothed himself. Gideon was filled with the Spirit. Read in Exodus chapter 31 over there about Bezalel and others who were involved in all the practical stuff that was to be done on the tabernacle. There was Bezalel there, and there was others who labored along with him, they were working and cutting stones and devising cunning works, working gold and silver and brass and so on. And all of those things, you're reading that chapter here, that they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit in order that they could be instructed. And that's what I mean. To be filled with the Spirit in order that I can be instructed. And just as there ever, if you can get a hold of the strength, then you can use it to make a difference. People would have got hold of the river and they'd have put a mill wheel there and the water to turn the mill, and that would have led to employment, to grain being crushed, and all kinds of things. Benefited the city in a remarkable way. And if you and I can get hold of the Lord, and folks, there's a very close connection with the fullness of the Spirit and praying. A very close connection. A person cannot be, I cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and not be a man who will wrestle with the Lord in prayer. Can't be. The two do not go together. They're so closely connected. So we would encourage you to pray. In whatever part you're playing, remember Bezalel. and the others there that were doing stuff that seemed to be practical on the tabernacle, they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do that work. So the Holy Spirit, the Lord of hosts, is with us. He's with us to inspect us, with us to increase us, and with us to instruct us. And I trust that that will be our experience, and that we will know gladness in fellowship, that we will know gladness in our own hearts, and that's very important. And you might just take a little bit of encouragement there from the thought, just as we close, that where it says there is a river. There are different words that are translated river, and the word here that's translated river is Nahar, which means perennial. It doesn't run dry. Some rivers run dry, they're great when they're in full flow, and a great benefit, but then they run dry. This river doesn't run dry. That means you can help right now, and the Lord can encourage you right now. And I trust that in your work here in Nakali, that you seek to do for him, that the Lord will help you, and that you will know continually. Even every night when you go to your bed, you will be saying, the Lord of hosts was with me today. And he strengthened me, he inspected me, he increased me, and he instructed me. The Lord bless his word to each one of our hearts.